Evening, everybody. If we could turn, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. In relation to what was preached this morning on the wrath of God, I'd like to speak this evening on the fear of God, which is what God expects from us. If we understand him properly in his holiness. And I'd like us to look at just two verses of Luke 12, 4 and 5. The words of Christ himself speaking here. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing of the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Can we just pray, please? Oh, Lord, as your word is preached, please, may your spirit captivate our attention and give us a sense of discernment. May we know what you would say to us. May we distinguish between the opinion of man and the word of God in final authority. And I do pray for the ability to preach clearly and faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, we're going to look at the root of all true religion. Let me remind you, there is such a thing as a false religion, and it's widespread. The root of all true religion is the fear of God. We read these words in Proverbs 1 verse 7. The fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. We are told again and again in Scripture that the problem with wicked people is that the fear of God is not in them. We're constantly told in the book of Psalms that the problem with wicked people is they have no fear of the Lord. And then we're told that the saints of the Bible all had that fear of God. Abraham, Samuel, David, Isaiah, they all record in the Scriptures times when they were filled with the fear of God. Now, obviously, if we want to please God in the light of this passage we've just read, we need to fear him. Very honest question, and it's not a silly question because we need to think about it. Do you fear God? Do you fear him? And I think the only way to answer that is to first ask the question, well, what exactly do you mean by that? What is fear? In this context, how do we Christians fear the Lord? So let's start at the very beginning with a dictionary definition on the biblical meaning of the word fear. The Hebrew word in the Old Testament is yirah, yirah. And in the New Testament, most of the time, it's phobos. You know the word phobia? It's the word phobos. This is the best definition I could come up of those two words. Fear means a sense of possible danger. A sense of possible danger. That's what the word fear means in the Bible. Now, you've all experienced fear, haven't you? If you're standing on the edge of a cliff and you look over and suddenly a gust of wind blows you and you go like that, if you're afraid of heights, you know what fear means. Or maybe if you're walking in the garden and a big spider runs over your foot, you've got fear. Or if you're walking in a dark alley and this scary looking character walks out of the shadows, you might suddenly be afraid. Fear is that sense that something bad is about to happen. Something scary could take place. Fear is an emotion I think we all know very well because we're all born with it. But you know, fear can often be a very negative thing. That's why it might be strange when you hear Jesus telling us we must fear God, and then we read that the definition of fear is a sense of impending danger, because fear can have a negative effect on people. Fear can take away your confidence. Fear can give you sleepless nights of worry. Fear can paralyze people with insecurities. Fear can make you a very unhappy person. Fear is not a nice thing, usually. And I have in my own time experienced people who are emotionally crippled because of the fear they have in their lives and the things they worry about. So why are we told in the Bible that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom? And then you get those portions of the Bible that seem to say the opposite of the beginning of wisdom. Doesn't the Bible tell us that we must fear not? Many, many times, fear not, I am with you. Aren't we told in 1 John that perfect love casts out all fear? Isn't fear in the Bible a negative thing? Or let me give you a couple of examples from passages in the Bible. Remember in the parable of the talents, the wicked servant who was given one talent hid his talent. Why? Because he says he was afraid, and in his fear he buried his talent, and he was cursed for doing that. We're told about the hired shepherd who abandons the flock because of his fear of the coming wolf. Pontius Pilate hands Jesus over to be crucified when he had the army to protect him and he knew Jesus had done nothing wrong. He hands him over, the Bible says, because he feared an insurrection of the crowd. Peter denies Jesus 3 times, obviously because he fears being recognized and arrested for cutting off someone's ear. Again and again you see in the Bible how fear makes people trip up and fail God. Maybe you look back on your own life. I look back on my life and I think of times when fear has held me back. Things I could have achieved, but I was too scared. I didn't have the guts to take the plunge. Or, you know, things we might have said, but we didn't say because we were too afraid. Things that we worry about that still might happen in the future, and the fear we have makes us miserable and stressful. Again and again, if we read the Bible, we see fearful people are not nice people. We're told not to fear. And yet in this case, we're told the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Jesus says here we are to fear God. Why? This is such an important question. Why are we to fear God? Well, let me just clear something up first, because there's an incorrect answer to this question. I've heard this many times, and I have to admit I've used it myself when I wasn't thinking very deeply. People have said, what do you mean by the fear of the Lord? And the one argument is this. Oh, when we talk about the fear of God, we're not talking about a scary type of fear, a fear of dread. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a fear of love. When I fear God, it means that I don't want to offend him, so therefore I fear offending him. It's a fear of passion more than a fear of dread. Ever heard that one? Well, I can tell you very clearly, in the light of Jesus' words in our text, that is not what Jesus is talking about here. When he tells us we're to fear God, he tells us how we are to fear him and why we are to fear him. Notice he says, I will show you whom to fear. Fear him who, after killing the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. So we're to fear God, Jesus says, because he has the power and the authority to physically and spiritually destroy us if he wants to. We need to have that sense that God can kill us if he wants to, and we need to have a sense of fear about that. This is what Jesus is telling us in our text we ought to have for God a sense of this fear. Now, you may object, and you may say, like I was saying this morning, the common objection is, but God's a God of love. God is, you know, fear is a horrible thing. Why should I have a fear of God? Fear causes worry and stress. And you're telling us that we're supposed to fear God in this way? Why would God want us to fear Him? And let me just repeat, we cannot use that little loophole, oh, but this is a fear of passion, not a fear of dread. Because Jesus has wiped that out in the text. He said, fear Him because He can destroy your body and soul. Well, the answer is clearly taught in our text why we should fear God. And when we understand it, it's liberating. Let me make a confession to you. This weekend, I was preparing this morning's sermon, and after I prepared, oh no, I'm not going to preach that. People aren't going to like that. Oh, those of you that weren't here, it wasn't a very nice sermon. And then I decided to do another sermon, and I prepared this one. And when I'd done this one, I was so convicted about this one that I had to preach the morning one, because I thought, no, it's a fear of man that's stopping me from doing it. And when we think about what I'm going to share with you now, we realize why we must fear God. When we fear God, when we realize life and death, heaven and hell, blessing and curses are in God's hands, and He can do with us as He sovereignly pleases, when we have a sense of that God who can kill us like that and no one can object, when we fear God, we need not fear anything else. The fear of God sets you free from the fear of anything else. And that's made very clear in our text. Look at what Jesus says here. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you are to fear. Jesus is pointing out here that the people we may fear are merely creatures. What's the worst thing a human being can do to you? Kill you. And he can only kill you if God allows him and makes it possible for him to kill you anyway. No man can do anything without God's sovereign permission. The Bible makes that clear. God's the one, Jesus says, has the real power over your life and death. God doesn't only kill the body, He kills the soul as well. Men can do nothing but what God allows. Jesus is saying here, the real cause of your fear ought to be God. Never men. Men are creatures with limited and accredited power. God is the one who gives life and takes life away. And if you fear God, you won't fear men or you won't fear anything else. And a very good example of that is found where Jesus is on trial before Pontius Pilate. We've looked at this a number of times, but Pontius Pilate is sitting in his judge seat, and he says to Jesus, who's tied up in chains, aren't you afraid of me? I have the power to set you free, or I can have you crucified. Aren't you scared of me, Jesus? And what was Christ's response? You've only got power over me because it's been given to you from above. Pilate, you're just a puppet that God is using to fulfill His purposes. You're just a pawn in the great game. Why should I fear you when I know the great power behind everything that's happening? You see, Jesus had no need to fear Pilate because He knew the power of life and death that lay behind Pontius Pilate. You see, the fears in our lives would not have that power over us if we all looked beyond the created things that are threatening us to the Creator of all things who have allowed these things to happen in our life. The fear of God should set us free from the fear of everything else. Let me give you an example. Here's a very common one, the fear of man. How many of you suffer from the fear of man? If you don't put your hand up, you're afraid of what people will think. Right. The fear of man is, oh, what do people think of me? Do people like me? Will I be popular if I do that? Are they going to accept me? Is that boss going to promote me? And so often, people are so ruled by the fear of man, they live false lives, they say things they wouldn't normally say. You know, they behave in certain ways, they do stupid things. They're so worried about what people will do. Now, if you fear men, it's because you don't realize. Who gives you favor? Who grants you friends? Who brings enemies into your life? Who's the one that makes you popular? Who's the one that turns you away and makes people not like you? God! God's the one that grants favor. God grants friendship and enemies. It's God. And if you can look beyond the people to the God who raises up and brings down, and if you fear that God, why should you fear the men and the creatures that he's created who are simply doing and carrying out the decree of God's will? So if you truly fear God, you ought not fear man. I'll give you an example, a good example. I was thinking of it just now. Daniel was his fear. He stood up against the Emperor Nebuchadnezzar. Remember? Why? Because his fear of God was greater than his fear of lions. Think about it. Why wasn't he afraid of the lions? Because he knew who was in control of the lions. If you have fear of God, you need not fear the creatures that God uses to unfold his purposes. You look through the second causes to the source of all happening, God. And that's to fear God. See, you may be stressing and worrying tonight about things, and they're legitimate worries. You may be worrying about your health or your finances or certain people in your life. And your fears of what may happen may be really disturbing you. My challenge is this, and I say it to myself, so I'm not judging anyone here. If you really feared God and realized he's the one that's going to take you out of this world when he says so, and he's going to use the instrument to take you out that he decrees, and he's the one that's going to give you the friends you've got, and he's the one that's going to deny you the friends you might want and aren't going to get. If you realize that he is the one and you fear him, the one who has success and failure, sickness and health, life and death, heaven and hell in his hands, you won't be worried about the small fry, the second causes. If you fear God, you fear nothing else. The fear of God, if you really do fear him, is able to make you fearless in this godless world. You read stories about the martyrs of old who stood up before the emperors and refused to renounce Christ, and they were tortured in horrible ways, but they stood up. Why were they not afraid? They had a fear of God. The fear of God is not necessarily a bad thing. You may say, but doesn't fear cause stress and ulcers and what are all the other things? I'm speaking about myself. I chew Rennies sometimes. Doesn't fear make you nervous and stressful and, you know, and all the rest of it? Of course it does. But that's not fear per se. That's what you are fearing. If you fear anything created, you're bound to go in the wrong way. But if you fear God, if you realize life, death, blessing, curses, it all comes from him. And if you bow before him, if you truly fear him, you'll fear his wrath. You'll cling to Jesus for justification. You'll find your peace in the cross, which is the power to keep you safe in the midst of his holiness. And you'll know that peace in the midst of your fear. The fear of God's a good thing. I think that the problem is, when we don't fear God, we do fear everything else. I told you a story a long time ago, but it's a story worth repeating. A woman that I had to go and visit, she wasn't a church member, but she was having a serious operation in Cape Town, and I had to go and visit her before she went through the operation. And the poor woman was in a terrible state. She was so frightened. They told her, you know, there was a small percentage of her coming out alive and all that sort of stuff. And she gripped my hand and she said, look, look, I'm not a religious person, but oh, if God gets me through this, I'll serve him for the rest of my life. You know, she was frightened and her fear was making it. She'd actually called me to come to the hospital. I want God. I need God. And we prayed together and you know, she went through, she got peace and she went through to the operation. She came out. The operation was 100% successful. She went home within a week. She was back on her feet again. Do you think she came to church? Do you think we saw her darkening our doorstep? The fear had gone. Sometimes, you know, fear is the best instrument to bring us to our knees. Complacency is a deadly drug. Complacency is that sense, well, everything's all right. Tomorrow will be the same as today. I'll go on. I'm safe. I'll worry about God when I'm 99. So you've got 8 or 9 more years left. You know, but I've heard people say silly things like that, not knowing how do you know you're going to live to 99? Fear is not necessarily a bad thing. It's what you fear. If you fear the things of this world, you're doomed to stress and worry and misery, paranoia and all the rest of it. But if you fear God, the one you should fear, because he's the one that's going to succeed you or fail you, you'll fear nothing else in the world. And if you have Jesus in your fear of God, you even have that awesome God as your Abba Father. Let's pray. In Jesus' name, I just do ask you, Lord, to show us tonight in our hearts a radically important truth of what we've just looked at. Father, we are so afraid so often. We hear about terrorism and murders and carnage and corruption and possible bank collapses. And Father, there's so much to worry about. Father, if only we would fear the God who controls all this, who is unfolding history according to an unchanging decree. If only we bowed the knee to this awesome God and trusted in his Son, Jesus Christ. We would not fear ridiculously, but fear to your glory and fear to our own salvation. Please teach us in this church the holy fear of God. May we realize, Lord, in you is life and death, and we ought to fear you. But if we fear you and we know your Son, Jesus, we need fear nothing else. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.